Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with my second-in-command producer, Dave.
Hello.
He's here finally, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland. And I'd like to say howdy to all of our radio affiliates out there on the Radio Northwest Network and down in Texas and wherever you're listening to us today. He's back to join us. Easter is coming, and so I could think of nobody better to share this hour with us than our buddy Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com. And we're going to be talking about some Easter things coming up. But before that, I wanted to introduce our musical guest today, which is Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And as you said, Meathead, that proves we're damned old. Anyway, welcome, Meathead, my buddy. How are you?
JT, it's good talking to you. And what is his second in command? We all know he's running the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I push the buttons and slide the controls, but you know.
Yeah, you're the boss.
And he takes the bloopers out.
Plenty of those.
I'll tell you a quick story before we get into the interview. Years ago, I was doing the announcing, the radio announcing, internet announcing from the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas, and we'd been prepping. We'd been doing daily shows for months getting up to this, and they were out on dozens and dozens of stations. Well, but my editor was in Nashville, and so I would record this stuff, pop it in the mail to him, and it would get there the next day, and he would record it. Well, little did I know, when we got to the finals, we're all in the production trailer one night, and he rolls this tape, and it's all my bloopers and cussing and and all this stuff from a year long of this thing. And because I was recording this crap at, you know, like 5 o'clock in the morning before I was going to go get on an airplane and go someplace. Anyway, it caught me off guard, but it was funnier than heck. Anyway, Easter.
Blooper reels are funny. I've got a blooper reel up on our YouTube channel.
Do you?
Because I've done some videos. And I did a whole cooking series with a woman named Jenny Johnson out of Boston. And she is gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous. And she was a terrible distraction. But I managed to keep my mind on the food most of the time. But there are more than a handful of bloopers, I'll tell you. And they're funny.
No, they're good. But I digress. So we're talking about Easter. One of the, you know, when people think Easter, and it's one of those holidays, it's always got a tradition. And a lot of people create their own. But for most people, it's like lamb or ham. You know, some people do chicken, whatever, depending on what it is. But I wanted to talk to Meathead today about, first of all, lamb, because I love lamb if it's cooked properly, if you don't turn it into a burnt shoe, or if it's still, you know, not Hannibal Lecter type of thing. You know what I mean? So give us some insight on doing lamb properly.
Well, you know, it's a classic spring dish. A lot of lambs, sheep, bear lambs for spring lamb, and it can, you know, if I was placed equidistant between a beef ribeye steak and a lamb ribeye steak, I would die of starvation trying to decide which way to go first. And anybody out there who says, I just don't like lamb, they've never had it properly cooked. Now, I know you've heard that about lima beans, and you've heard that about beef liver, but lamb, especially from the loin, the ribeye, the saddle, the rack of lamb, those mm-hmm. are all off the back. It's so tender, and it's a bright red meat just like beef. And it has a very similar flavor. It's a little different, but it's not gamey at all. It's the old sheep that get gamey. Lamb is young, lamb is tender, and if you cook it properly, and you cook it just like you would a steak, beef,
right?
and it is just beautiful, absolutely. And it's in season now for the next month. Well, you can get it all year round, but spring is lamb season, you know, asparagus. It's a traditional dish for Passover, which is also around Easter time usually.
Mm-hmm. Usually.
It fluctuates because they're on a lunar calendar. So lamb is spring and Easter and Passover, and it's just a great, great red meat. And there's just a bunch of different ways you can cook it.
Now, I've always done it. I've roasted it. I've also done it out on one of the grills. But,
mm-hmm.
I've roasted it. I've always kept my seasoning very simple, which was salt, pepper, and garlic. But I'm a simple guy.
Yeah. You know, there's always a minimalist way to go for most really good meats, especially a flavorful meat like beef or lamb. And salt, pepper, and garlic are great on both. Rosemary is a traditional combo with lamb, and it does work well. I've got a lamb rub recipe that's salt, pepper, garlic, rosemary, and a couple other goodies like that that works really nicely on lamb. Some people like to take a rack of lamb. A rack of lamb is like a beef rib roast. It's that combination of rib bones and the loin meat that lies on top of the rib bones. And you get eight bones and eight small lamb chops. And I usually cut them double wide.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two bones, and you get four servings out of it. And a lot of people like to bread them. So you can rub a garlicky rosemary breading on it. That's maybe some mustard in there. And it gets a nice crustiness on the grill. You cook it till it's golden. Medium rare, 130 to 135 degrees on the thermometer. Don't push it much further than that. You want to get it up to pink, 140, go ahead, but don't overcook lamb. It's overcooked lamb that makes people say, I don't like lamb, because they've had sheep, they've had
mutton. Yep.
That's been stewed, that grandma used to cook, and that's just not very good meat. But you take a lamb chop or a rack of lamb and cut it into chops and grill it, and it is just spectacular.
So I'm going to ask you a historical question, because I truly don't know the correct answer to this. Who came up with the mint jelly thing on lamb?
Gosh, you know, I don't know either. I can guess. Mint is also spring.
Mm-hmm.
It comes up in spring. It's a weed. It grows like crazy. Mint juleps around
Kentucky Derby
time.
Yep.
So mint comes up in spring. And so we have a history of combining dishes when they're seasonal, and often they work. And I've used, here's something you got to try. Adam Perry Lang, who's a great chef out of New York, he's in L.A. now, came up with a concept that works wonderfully. He calls it a board dressing, or I call it a board sauce, but it's the same idea. You go out to your herb garden, and I have an herb garden in my yard, and if you don't, you can grow them in pots. Fresh herbs are just really a really important way to improve food. And you get a handful of whatever the heck is grown out there and chop it up and put it in a cup, mix it up with some olive oil, throw in some garlic if you want or some sweet peppers. And when that you'll take a leg of lamb or a flank steak or something, and you bring it in from the grill, and then you pour this oil and herb mix on your cutting board, and then you chop the meat up on the cutting board. And as the juices run, it mixes with the meat, and you would think the herbs would overpower and dominate, but it doesn't. It's subtle. Fresh herbs are actually very subtle compared to dried herbs. And it moisturizes and flavorizes just beautifully. And it's a great technique for leg of lamb. I've got pictures of this on the website, and I've done it. And you can take a whole monster leg of lamb, which might be 8 pounds or so,
mm-hmm.
and roast it gently on the grill in direct heat. If you put it over direct heat, you'll burn the heck out of the outside. Start it over indirect heat. Bring it up to about 120 or 125 on the indirect heat side of a grill, No coals underneath it, just convection air flowing around it. And then when it gets to about 125, you move it over the direct heat, right over the coals or the gas burners, and you rotate it until you really brown the outside dark, and you've got a great crust.
There you go.
Put it on the cutting board, chop it up on this board sauce, go straight to heaven.
There you go. We're going to take a break, and I want to remind everybody one thing here. Always practice food safety. Use condiments. We'll be back on Barbecue Nation right after this. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Dr. Dave, and we've got our buddy Meathead Goldwyn with us today. Before we get back to talking to Meathead, you can email us at Barbecue Nation. That's BBQNation at KXL.com. Also, we have a Facebook page, don't we, David? You didn't turn your mic on.
I'm not really here.
I think he's sleeping.
I'm not really here.
Yeah. It's Facebook. It's Barbecue Nation with JT. Like that. And we've got a new Barbecue Nation website coming up that's separate from the radio stations here very shortly.
Cool.
Yeah, we've got that. Also, a couple of our affiliates, KFLS in Klamath Falls and KLBM in LeGrand. Howdy, everybody out there. Now with our buddy Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com. I was looking up something this morning, and there you were. And I think it was actually like on the Huffington Post or something, but there you were. You had a little sidebar over there. I didn't. You write for those guys?
I did for years. Before they had a food guide, I was their first food columnist. And when they launched the food guide, I wrote the Welcome to the Huffington Post food guide. I haven't had time for that in recent years, but they're recycling a lot of my old stuff and. I occasionally bump into it myself with surprise.
Sure. No, I was just curious. So when you're doing a lamb and you gave us some great ideas and suggestions in the first segment, the side dishes with that, I happen to like asparagus if it's cooked properly. The way my mom cooked it, it turned into these kind of green, limp, nasty, gushy things. And
stringy.
Yeah. Oh, it was awful. I wouldn't eat it. My mother-in-law actually taught me how to cook it 29 years ago, and she did it very well, and it was quick, and it was hot on the outside, you know, and still crisp, and you know,
It should snap.
Yeah.
It should have a little crunch. Al dente, I mean, everybody has their own preferences on this
sort
of thing. Some people like it soft. Green beans are the same way.
Yeah.
Some people like it almost raw. I mean, it's not bad raw.
No.
It's better cooked. I want it to snap. I want it cooked, but I want it to snap. And I got to tell you, if you haven't grilled it, it really is nice because it gets a little charry on the outside. I have a spice rub blend that also published on the website called Simon & Garfunkel Rub, and you can imagine what's in it. Go ahead, sing it. Go ahead.
No.
It's got parsley, sage, rosemary,
and thyme, yeah,
and a few other goodies, garlic, of course. And you sprinkle a little of this on there with a little oil, and you just roll it around on the grill, and it gets a little crispy and charry. The tip can burn, so you want to kind of keep the tips near the edge of the grill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good, and you bring them off when they're a little crispy, and you can even, you know, I'll often cook them just as I'm throwing the meat on. They'll finish ahead of time, and they're just fine at room temp.
Sure.
I eat them with my fingers. I don't care what Emily Post says. I love picking it up and just chomp, chomp, chomp.
You know what? I'll give you a little hint on what I do with them is I take a wedge of fresh orange, and just before they're done, I squeeze a little fresh orange juice on them.
And wow, that sounds perfect.
And roll it one time across the grill and then pick them up. Oh, that's pretty, you might try that.
But here you go. You know, we were talking earlier about where the mint came from. And seasonal. I mean, asparagus is a spring dish. Lamb is, as I said, it's available year-round, but it's traditionally a spring dish. Asparagus, a spring dish. They just do work together somehow or other.
Yeah, they're really great. Do you prefer, like, with a starch with that, do you prefer, like, a rice, or do you like potatoes, or what do you like to do?
God, you know, it's funny you mentioned rice. I was just thinking, now, what am I going to serve with this? And I was thinking, geez, you really can't grill couscous, can you?
Pretty hard.
I like couscous with lamb a lot.
Yeah.
And it is. I haven't figured out how to grill it yet. But
if anybody can, it'll be you. Trust me.
But rice is good. Yeah. I mean, if you go to the Middle East, your traditional lamb dishes there, which are always often skewered. Are served on a bed of rice. So that's a natural combination. Why not?
And they use a lot of saffron. I mean, when I was over there and walked down, they called it a goat grab. They didn't call it a dinner. They called it a goat grab. And when you went down the line and they took off this big chafing dish, and it wasn't really a lamb. This was kind of an older sheep. Head on, the whole thing, eyeballs popping out. But it was on this huge bed of rice, brown rice, but it had saffron in it. And the saffron almost knocked you over. It was so strong over there.
Hey, that's wonderful stuff with rice. But, you know, here you go again. Saffron is the pistil or the organs of a crocus.
Uh-huh.
And when do crocuses come up?
In the spring.
It's another spring dish.
Yeah.
So how about that? I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. And a lot of the Middle Eastern restaurants serve it on rice with saffron. Very expensive stuff, by the way. And there's a imitation saffron from Mexico that comes on the market. It's good, but it's not the same. You want to get Spanish or Middle Eastern saffron. Just make sure you get real saffron. I actually have a picture of the two different kinds of saffron, the good stuff and the cheap stuff, on the website. But that rice with saffron would be a great side dish for that. Now, I was just thinking, for Easter...
We got to take a break in a second.
We'll come back to Easter. We can talk what people might want to cook for Easter, because we haven't touched on ham yet.
No, we haven't. That's what we're going to do. But what I was going to tell you is, when I was in Riyadh, I learned to love the Lebanese bakers, the baklava there, because after I ate what I thought was going to be marinated cauliflower, and that was not marinated cauliflower. And when I was going to eat marinated mushrooms, but those were not marinated mushrooms.
I'm guessing.
Yep. So one was brains and one was at the other end. But anyway, I love baklava.
Remind me when we have time to tell you about the dish someone cooked for me with four different kinds of olives.
Okay, I will do that. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com on Barbecue Nation right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back. It's Barbecue Nation. JT, Dr. Dave, and Meathead Goldwyn today on the Radio Northwest Network and our other affiliates around the country. Easter is coming next week. You can chicken out and do what I did. I made reservations at a brunch for my wife and my daughter and myself. But if you're going to cook it, America's traditional dish, I would say, for most people, is ham for Easter. And there's significance to that. But... And there's a butt with two T's coming up. A ham has got kind of two parts, a shank and a butt. And I'm going to have Meathead tell you the difference and the difference in cooking them.
Well,
how about that?
First of all, the ham is the back end or the back legs of the animal. And those are hard-working muscles.
Yep.
And there's a knot of them. There's several different muscles in there. And there's some grains, veins of fat that run around in there. And, of course, there's the bones. And you can actually get different sections of the ham. And the higher up the leg that you get, the more meat, it's the fatter end. I mean, it's
right.
It's conical. It's cone-shaped. And so up from the high end is where you're going to get more meat. It's also thicker, so it takes longer to cook. You get further down and where it connects to the knee, there's a lot more sinew in there, and it's a little tougher. So if you can, you want to get it up from the higher end, the fatter, the wider end. And that's also where they cut the ham steaks from.
Mm-hmm.
So you get this big steak with a little round bone in the center. And I think that's the best end of it. And it's, you know, they're cured by injecting in them a saline solution, salt and sodium nitrite or nitrate or both, which is a preservative, and it goes way back before refrigeration, and it turns it bright pink. And then it's often smoked, and you can buy it, and often it's cut in a spiral, so it's really easy to remove from the bone.
Sure.
And it comes with a glaze, and that's typically your honey glazed, spiral cut, smoked, cured ham. But you can buy raw ham, which is just pork, and grill it or smoke it yourself. Or if you buy one that's already smoked, there's nothing to stop you from smoking it again and getting down a layer of fresh smoke. So if you've got a smoker, you can add an extra double smoke layer on there, and it's very nice that way. It's a different taste. The smoke that they've applied to it at the factory changes flavor with time. It dissipates, so it's not got that normal smoky character
right.
that we associate with, you know, barbecue ribs or brisket or something. So I like to take my smoked ham, and it's called a country ham. It's a, or rather, it's called a city ham. It's wet cured, injected
right.
With a this brine solution. And that's different from your Virginia hams, which are country hams, which are dry cured. They're rubbed with salt and hung to dry. They're not injected. It takes months for the salt to enter into it. Prosciutto is made that way. And they're very, very different, flavors. Most of us get these city hams, which are injected and pink, and they're just a lot of fun. They're really easy. People like to serve them with pineapple, which is a nice combination, I think. I have a recipe for a apricot glaze, which is really nice to work on it. But I'll start it on a smoker and warm it, and then I make a glaze with some chicken stock and wrap the whole thing up with a little bit of this glaze in a foil, like a giant candy kiss.
Yeah.
And it sort of helps steam it that way and creates this lovely gravy. It's just a real nice approach to it and gives it a unique character.
I know when I was little, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners would probably be nodding their heads right now, my mom used to buy a ham, and depending on what was on sale, I'm sure is which end she got, but it doesn't matter at this point. But she would spend like 45 minutes meticulously sticking all these little cloves in the top of it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and some of these hams come with the skin and a thick layer of fat.
Mm-hmm.
And people think that fat melts and goes into the ham, and it doesn't. And people won't eat that all that fat. So I really recommend you get the skin and the fat off before you cook it. Ham, or all beef, is around 70% water. And all fat, which is oil and water don't mix. The fat on the surface of meat does not penetrate the meat. That's a old husband's tale. It's been around forever. It's the fat inside the meat. It's the fat in between the fibers. It's the marbling that's crucial to the flavor. But a thick layer of fat on the outside of a steak or a ham or a pork butt, none of it, zero, gets into that meat. It just can't penetrate. Oil and water don't mix. It melts. It runs off. And if you leave it on there, people are going to trim it off. And if you've got seasoning on the outside of that fat, they're going to throw away all your seasoning.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because those cloves would stick in that fat on the top of the ham. And every once in a while, somebody, you'd hear somebody yelp a little bit because they bit into one of those cloves, you know. And not only did that, well, I remember, you remember Sen-Sen, the breath mint?
Yes.
That was cloves, I think. Oh, my God, we're going back.
Hey, how come nobody cooks rabbit? Why don't we eat the Easter bunny?
Because they're laying chocolate eggs.
I knew you'd have the answer.
You got all these little poor crying-eyed kids that there's not enough chocolate eggs on the ground to pick up, you know?
I could just imagine the horror from all the children around the table if you served rabbit for Easter dinner.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that would be...
I think I've got to do that.
You should. You should. I'll even come back and help you if we do that, because, you know, we got to... We'd have PETA right there and all those guys, you know, people for eating tasty animals. And
rabbit grills up very nicely.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's an old joke, it tastes like chicken, but if you treat it like chicken, it's very similar to chicken in that it tends to be fairly lean. It cooks in a similar fashion. You can season it like you would chicken. It doesn't have skin like chicken, so it's going to be less fatty. But you could do it just like a chip, maybe spatchcock it. No reason why not.
No,
Easter bunny for Easter.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll get some calls now.
We need to start a movement.
Yeah, that'd be a movement, all right. Kill Bugs Bunny. So, you know, one of my favorite things to eat, and you touched on this a few minutes ago, is I love prosciutto. I love that stuff. And I cook with it, you know, I wrap asparagus in it, I do all kinds of stuff with it, and I love it. That comes off the shank end, is that correct?
Well, no, they'll use the whole ham.
Okay.
They'll start with the knee and right up to the hip bone. In fact, you can see the ball head of the hip the thigh bone. Sticking out.
But that is, not that anybody cares except me, but I just love that stuff.
My email newsletter goes out tomorrow, and the top picture is this gorgeous wall of prosciutto. Wow. It's just hundreds of hams as far as the eye can see. I visited there a few years ago, and what a treat that was.
So you can just lock me in that room with a knife and just leave me. I'll be fine.
The owner of the factory took us up to a little tasting room and gave us a tasting of various ages of prosciutto, and it's so wonderful. And when it comes, it's hard to call it fresh because it's aged for years, but there's a fresh brininess reminiscent of an oyster or something when it's cut from the ham instead of one of these things that's been sitting in the deli and they're slicing a little bit off every day and it dries out on the surface. Really beautiful stuff.
It's great. Real quick before we go to break, if you want to email us, it's Barbecue Nation. That's bbqnation@kxl.com. And find us on Facebook, Barbecue Nation with JT. And we tweet, don't we? We tweet. Yeah, we tweet. It's CalCook57, I believe. One of those. Anyway, we're going to take a break and be back, if I say it properly, with our buddy Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com on Barbecue Nation. After this, don't go away. Rock and roll, too. That's Joan Jett and the Blackhearts here on Barbecue Nation with JT. That would be me, Dr. Dave. That would be him.
Yo.
And Meathead's back in Chicago. That would be him back there. And spatchcocking the Easter Bunny.
It sounds vaguely dirty, doesn't it?
It kind of does. But it sounds like fun. you know. After all, you know, we talked earlier about when we grew up and the eras we survived. So as far as I'm concerned,
I'm sure your regulars know, but on the chance somebody is just tuning in for the first time, we should explain what spatchcocking is.
You want to take it or do you want me to go?
Sure. It's a technique we use often on chickens and turkeys. You know, if you cook a whole chicken or a turkey, you've got this cavity that never browns, and brown is flavor. It's when the proteins get changed by heat. So, and it also slows the cooking down. So if you can cut with a kitchen shears or a knife along the backbone, you can open the bird up and lay it out flat, like butterfly it. Then you can cook both sides. You can brown the cavity. And because it's thinner now, it cooks faster, and therefore you have less moisture loss. And it still looks very cool. I do it with my Thanksgiving turkey every year now.
Mm-hmm.
And it really improves flavor and moisture content, and it looks just fun. We were joking about cooking the Easter bunny for Easter. Spatchcocking it would probably be a good technique.
Well, you know, you look in those old Western movies and stuff, and they say, what's for dinner for rabbit or rabbit, you know, somebody went out. And a jackrabbit, trust me, it's not something you really want to eat unless you had to. But it's either on a spit, kind of their hand turning it once in a while, or they've spatchcocked it, which, believe me, those cowboys probably didn't know that's what the name was. And it's kind of strung out between two or three little pieces of, you know, branch wood, and they've sewn it together. But that's, if people have seen that in the movies too, or if you watch Julia Childs do it with a, you know, 300 years ago and cut her hand open or something. But anyway, that's what it is.
I'll bet the cowboys invented the word spatchcock. I mean, where the heck did that word come from? We all know what I'm talking about if I say butterfly it.
Right.
But spatchcocking is such a fun word. Where did it come from?
Well, it might have been cowboys. We've been known to do things like that. So real quick, how much time we got, David? Two? About two? Three? Okay. Give our listeners the number one important thing to think about, one, when picking out a ham, and then when you go to throw it on the grill or in the oven.
I would avoid canned hams. They've been really heavily processed. The bones have been removed. And I prefer not a spiral cut, although it really does make carving easy. You've exposed a lot of surface, and when you're cooking it, that surface is going to evaporate, so you're going to encourage the meat to dry out. So I would recommend getting a ham from up close towards the hip bone, the butt end, and I would recommend getting a whole ham that has not been spiral cut, so it won't dry out so easily. And if it is a cured ham, you only have to cook it to 145 to be safe. So use your meat thermometer, because if you push it way up to 160, it will dry out.
Mm-hmm.
And get all that big fat surface fat and the skin out of the way. So if you decide to season it with a rub, and that's a nice technique, or use the old cloves and the pineapple and the maraschino cherries, it's right there on the meat, because people are going to remove that fat, throw it away, and all your seasoning is going to get lost.
There you go. And we still got a little time here. When you do it in your tinfoil, or if you're doing it in a pan in the oven, if people are going to do it that way, you save your drippings. Don't save the cloves. I'm telling you, don't save the cloves if you're doing that. Don't put that in the gravy. But
recipe that we have.
Yeah.
There's a video of it, too. We use an apricot glaze, but we mix it with a little chicken stock so it's not real thick, and it will penetrate a little bit. And you can baste with that, and then you put the sweet glaze on just at the end. Be careful when you use sweet glazes. They can burn, so you don't want to put them on when you start cooking. You put them on just 15, 20 minutes before you're done.
Right, exactly. Meathead Goldwyn, my friend from AmazingRibs.com, I recommend everybody go to his website and check it out. And if you can't find it, go to our website, because I think we've already got or go to the Cowboy Cooks website. I think we've got a link on there.
Or buy the book.
Yes, your meat, the The science
of great barbecue and grilling.
Yeah.
Southern Living Magazine named it one of the 100 best cookbooks of all time.
I think it is. We've got to go. We've got to get out of here. So remember, everybody, turn it, don't burn it. And I will leave you with this thought for the week. With wine comes wisdom, with beer comes freedom, and with water comes bacteria. Check out my stuff on thecowboycook.com, and we will see you all next week on Barbecue Nation. Bye, everybody.